case on this morning's call is number 024264, Robert Brondes against the Attorney General. Mr. Horn.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Stanley Horn, and this is a case of first impression in this court and probably throughout the United States. We've been unable to find any cases concerning this particular issue. The issue is whether or not this court, in part, has jurisdiction. When, prior to the passage of IRA-IRA, Section 240A of the old Immigration Act provided that an individual could apply for suspension of deportation. The requirements of suspension of deportation were, basically, that he had to be here 7 years, that he had to be a person of good moral character, and he had to show that he would suffer extreme hardship if he had to leave the United States and return to his own country. When, in 1996, when IRA was passed, the entire provision of suspension was terminated. One no longer applied for suspension of deportation. Now, one applied for cancellation of removal. And out of the terms of cancellation of removal, one had to be here 10 years. You also had to show good moral character. And the most important thing is that he could not show, it was irrelevant whether he suffered any hardship whatsoever. The standard also changed. The standard was no longer extreme hardship. Now it was extreme and unusual hardship. Then also, the hardship, whether it was to him or not, whether it was to the alien applying, didn't matter. He had to have a qualifying relative. He had to show that it was hardship either to a permanent resident or U.S. citizen, spouse, parent, or child. In this case, Mr. Brondes does not have a qualifying relative. However, subsequent to the passage of IRA-IRA, Congress passed a law called NACARA, the Nicaraguan and Central American Relief Act. It provided in part that people from certain countries of Eastern Europe who had applied for asylum, who entered the United States before 1990, December of 1990, and applied for asylum before 1991, could reopen their deportation proceedings and apply for relief as suspension of deportation. That's very important because the case was initiated by an order to show cause. That was a document, somewhat like an indictment, which set forth certain statements and provided certain charges which initiated the proceeding before a deportation judge. Under IRA-IRA, there was no longer an order to show cause. Now, the document was called a notice to appear and was an entirely different document. It provided different safeguards, entirely changed from what had proceeded under the old Immigration Act. When NACARA was passed, it provided that even though there was a deportation order entered, one could apply for a motion to reopen and have your application heard under the old law under suspension of deportation. That is, you've made an application, it was under the old criteria, and the judge ruled under the old criteria. It also provided under the old Immigration Act that this court had jurisdiction to review the immigration judge's decision as to whether or not the respondent or the alien had met his burden of proof and showed extreme hardship. Under the NACARA, under IRA-IRA, that jurisdiction was eliminated. This court no longer had a right to review the decision of the immigration judge with regard to hardship, the hardship issues. When Mr. Brondes made his application, the entire proceeding related back to the old order to show cause.
Why is that the case?
Because they never issued a notice to appear. no notice to appear was ever issued under the NACIRA, under IRA-IRA. It all related back to the original...
No, he moved to reopen under NACIRA, didn't he?
Yes.
And why doesn't NACIRA govern the case then?
NACIRA does govern the case. That's exactly what we're saying.
The transitional rules govern the case.
Except for one thing. The transitional rules apply when an order to show cause was issued, and it still was pending when IRA-IRA was passed, and then no order of deportation was entered. At the end, an order of removal was entered. Now, if you have an order of removal and it's entered against you, then you can't return to the United States for 10 years without special permission. No one in this case issued an order of removal. The immigration judge, in his final decision, ordered him deported. Now, if he was ordered deported, at that point, it was important because at the end of 5 years, he could return without special permission. If the transitional rules applied, as applied for IRA-IRA, then they would have to issue an order of removal. That clearly didn't happen in this case. In this case, the judge said that he was ordered deported from the United States. So even the immigration judge himself applied the rules of NACIRA and not the rules of IRA, of IRA-IRA. And if this is the case, then this court has jurisdiction to review the entire proceeding and not apply the transitional rules of IRA-IRA. Now, in this case, Mr. Brown, if this is the case, then Mr. Brownis clearly showed that he would suffer extreme hardship if he returned back to Poland. He's been here for an extensive period of time. He clearly falls under the criteria as set forth by the Board of Immigration Appeals in the matter of Anderson, 16 INN decision 596, which is decided in 98. That is the standard which all cases use to determine whether or not he serves, has suffered extreme hardship.
And they show the economy would suffer by the loss of his business.
Right, and a lot of people have got to work.
Extreme hardship to him.
Well, he would lose his business. He has been here roughly 11 years. He everything that he's worked for during that time, the government never enforced departure on him from the original order. They let him stay here. They didn't do anything to deport him. And yet, the purpose of NACIRA was an ameliorating statute. It was clearly for the purpose of all these people who had filed for asylum and who remained here, even after an order of deportation was entered, would have some relief. And that was the purpose of NACIRA. Now, because of NACIRA, this court has jurisdiction under the old rule, under the old rules. We are all operating under the original proceeding of the order to show cause and not under the rules as set forth in IRA-IRA with the issuance of a notice to appear. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Horn. We'll hear now from Ms. Berg.
May it please the court. I'm Regina Berg, counsel for the respondent, Attorney General John Ashcroft. And responding initially to the argument that opposing counsel just made, these arguments regarding whether or not or this case is controlled by the transitional rules were raised by our office in response to his motion to the court in response to his petition for review. The arguments he presents here are being presented for the first time. He had an opportunity to raise his arguments in a reply brief to our answering brief. That was not done. Accordingly, the court should reject these arguments and find that he's waived them. In the event that this court should consider them, this court is very clearly held that the transitional rules apply to cases such as this one, where an order to show cause commenced the proceedings. That is what governs what it is or which set of rules are going to control the court's review. In this particular case, Mr. Brownis's order to show cause was issued on February the 12th, 1990. Consequently, it was issued prior to the effective date of ARERA. Now, ARERA made very clear changes to the court's review, among other things, of how aliens are to get various forms of relief and to the immigration law as a whole. But it specifically said that cases that are commenced prior to the commencement of the permanent rules, which are April 1st, 1997, these cases are controlled by the transitional rules. The court has clearly held that in Setnik. And consequently, to the extent that this court should find that these new arguments that are being raised here for the first time are before the court, then the court should find that they are they lack merit. Here are the issues that Mr. Bronnais actually raised in his brief. He argued, first of all, that the agency erred and denying his application for asylum, for suspension of deportation and voluntary departure. We took a look at this brief, and we realized this court has already decided this very question. It decided the question in Setnik versus INS 128 Fed 3rd, 512, 1979. There, this case, this court was presented with the question of whether or not it has jurisdiction under ARERA, Section 309 T4E, which governs transitional rule cases, to review the agency's denial of suspension of deportation based on the extreme hardship determination. That determination has been found by this court as well as the Ninth Circuit to be a purely discretionary determination. Because it is a discretionary determination, this court lacks jurisdiction over Mr. Bronnais' claim. Secondly, Mr. Bronnais raised in his petition, in his brief, the question of whether or not the board erred in denying his request for voluntary departure. We argued again. ARERA 309C4E clearly controls voluntary departure. Again, is a purely discretionary determination over which Congress has taken away this court's jurisdiction to review. Those are the issues before this court, and those are the issues that this court should decide. The Attorney General requests that this court would decide those issues in favor of the agency. It has no jurisdiction to review the case, and consequently should dismiss this petition for review. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bird. I believe that your time had you have 2 minutes, Mr. Horn.
I simply want to point out to the court that the transitional rules and IRA were amended by the NACARA Act. The NACARA Act was passed subsequent to IRA, and therefore it's not the transitional rules that control, it's the section of NACARA which controls. And under NACARA, this court still has jurisdiction. I also want to point out,
well, before you go on, do you have a case that is interpreted that way, in the way that you have suggested?
No, this is a case of first impression. We have not been able to find a case in any of the circuits that ever discussed this issue.
It's a case of first impression if we go with your sort of interpretation.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. I also want to point out that the government never discussed the issue of hardship. And obviously, if they don't discuss it, they must concede that there is extreme hardship in this case. Thank you.
I guess if you were in Canada, you would have a better case on that. I understand there, if you make a big enough economic contribution to the economy, you can, they'll let you into the country.
Well, that's here too. If you make enough money,
but it'll let you in.
Well, we can do that here too. We can file for a visa application under certain circumstances and get a visa if you're going to make enough of a big enough investment.
My thanks to both Mr. Horn and to Ms. Bird. The case will be taken under advisement.